Listening test. You're going to listen to a recorded material. Before you listen, you have 20 seconds to read instructions carefully, and you will listen to it twice.
Part 1. You will hear a conversation between a student and a job advisor.
Oh, good morning. Is this, room number 26?
Yes, that's right.
So, is this the student job centre?
It certainly is. How can I help you?
Well, actually, I'm looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
A part-time job. Do you have anything available at the moment?
Yes. Are you a registered student? I'm afraid this service is only available to full-time students.
Yes, I am. I'm doing a degree in business studies. Here's my student card.
Which year are you in?
Well, I've been at uni for 4 years, but I'm in the third year because I took last year off.
Right. Well, let's just have a look at what positions are available at the moment. There's a job working at the reception desk at the sports centre for 3 evenings a week. That's Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays.
Oh, that sounds like fun, but unfortunately I have evening lectures, so that's not possible, I'm afraid. Is there anything during the day?
Okay, that's no good then. What about cleaning? There's a position for a cleaner at the childcare centre.
Right.
But you'd need to be there at 6 a.m. Does that appeal?
6 o'clock in the morning? Ooh, that's far too early for me, I'm afraid. I'd never make it that early in the morning.
Hmm. Well, there was a position going in the computer lab for 3 days a week that might be okay. Ah, here it is. No, it's in the library, not the lab. Clerical assistant required. I think it mostly involves putting the books back on the shelves. Oh, no, hang on. It's for Wednesday and Friday evenings again.
No, I can't manage that because of the lectures.
OK, I'm getting the idea. Look, I'll just get a few details from you anyway, and then we can check through the list and see what comes up.
Oh, good morning. Is this, room number 26?
Yes, that's right.
So, is this the student job centre?
It certainly is. How can I help you?
Well, actually, I'm looking for a job,
mm-hmm.
a part-time job. Do you have anything available at the moment?
Yes. Are you a registered student? I'm afraid this service is only available to full-time students.
Yes, I am. I'm doing a degree in business studies. Here's my student card.
Which year are you in?
Well, I've been at uni for 4 years, but I'm in the third year because I took last year off.
Right. Well, let's just have a look at what positions are available at the moment. There's a job working at the reception desk at the sports centre for 3 evenings a week. That's Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays.
Oh, that sounds like fun, but unfortunately I have evening lectures, so that's not possible, I'm afraid. Is there anything during the day?
Okay, that's no good then. What about cleaning? There's a position for a cleaner at the childcare centre.
Right.
But you'd need to be there at 6 a.m. Does that appeal?
6 o'clock in the morning? Ooh, that's far too early for me, I'm afraid. I'd never make it that early in the morning.
Hmm. Well, there was a position going in the computer lab for 3 days a week that might be okay. Ah, here it is. No, it's in the library, not the lab. Clerical assistant required. I think it mostly involves putting the books back on the shelves. Oh, no, hang on. It's for Wednesday and Friday evenings again.
No, I can't manage that because of the lectures.
OK, I'm getting the idea. Look, I'll just get a few details from you anyway, and then we can check through the list and see what comes up.
Part 2.
Today I have with me Mike O'Toole, a leading teacher trainer, and he's going to be talking to us about the challenges and the rewards that a graduate considering teaching as a career path can expect. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Judy. And let me say that you chose two extremely appropriate words, challenges and rewards. I don't think there's been a more challenging time to be a teacher. And the truth of the matter is that many are saying this is no longer worth the energy I have to put into it and are leaving the profession in droves. But the ones that persevere will, I believe, find that teaching in the 21st century will have both the prestige and the results of the golden days of education.
Teaching is often described as being at a crossroads, though, isn't it? What makes today a real moment of decision?
I think the fact that it's a crunch moment for everyone. Potential teachers, teacher trainers, schools and the government. If everyone seizes the opportunities offered, we could see a system transformed from the slow decline we saw over the past decades. If not, the UK will no longer be seen around the world as an education destination, but rather as a quaint anachronism, a piece of living history, interesting only to academics.
What makes it crunch time? Why are we at this ominous-sounding place?
One word, technology. Technology is the key. We have a world that has changed beyond recognition due to technology, and one that is continuing to change. And our educational system risks being left behind. Everyone should be able to use a computer, but almost no school has IT as a compulsory subject. Computers and the internet should play a part in every lesson, but they don't. And one of the main reasons is the inability of the teacher to use technology, to integrate it into the lesson.
In teacher training colleges, how much emphasis is placed on classroom technology and e-learning?
You've come right to the point, Judy. The answer is, not enough. And not only that, if I become a teacher today completely up to date with the latest in educational software, hardware, electronic resources and so on, in 10 years' time, I'll need retraining so that what I've learned won't become obsolete in 20. Teachers today are being asked to do more and more without the support they need. We have a very high rate of teachers quitting the profession in this country, and we've got to ask why.
So teachers need to go back to school themselves. How do they feel about that?
There's resistance sometimes. Teachers can be very traditional. But it's with the new wave of teachers that we can affect the greatest change. If the interactive whiteboard, for example, is seen for what it is, an extraordinary tool in a teacher's toolbox, then it can be utilised. We can train the teacher where to use it, where not to use it, what new software is available, and so on. If there's mistrust, suspicion, ignorance, then the technology will not be used to its full potential. Quite the contrary.
And what are the implications for teachers, schools, education systems even, that don't exploit this technology?
You used the analogy of a crossroads earlier, but I would say rather that we are at a fork in the road. We are in a deep forest at the side of a mountain, and what we don't realise is that one path leads down into a dead-end ravine, and the other leads up to the top of the mountain and the sunshine of knowledge. And, interestingly enough, what technology is allowing schools in developing countries to do is to leapfrog right ahead of the developed countries so that, in comparison, we are starting to look primitive.
Today I have with me Mike O'Toole, a leading teacher trainer, and he's going to be talking to us about the challenges and the rewards that a graduate considering teaching as a career path can expect. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Judy. And let me say that you chose two extremely appropriate words, challenges and rewards. I don't think there's been a more challenging time to be a teacher. And the truth of the matter is that many are saying this is no longer worth the energy I have to put into it and are leaving the profession in droves. But the ones that persevere will, I believe, find that teaching in the 21st century will have both the prestige and the results of the golden days of education.
Teaching is often described as being at a crossroads, though, isn't it? What makes today a real moment of decision?
I think the fact that it's a crunch moment for everyone. potential teachers, teacher trainers, schools and the government. If everyone seizes the opportunities offered, we could see a system transformed from the slow decline we saw over the past decades. If not, the UK will no longer be seen around the world as an education destination, but rather as a quaint anachronism, a piece of living history, interesting only to academics.
What makes it crunch time? Why are we at this ominous-sounding place?
One word, technology. Technology is the key. We have a world that has changed beyond recognition due to technology, and one that is continuing to change. And our educational system risks being left behind. Everyone should be able to use a computer, but almost no school has IT as a compulsory subject. Computers and the internet should play a part in every lesson, but they don't. And one of the main reasons is the inability of the teacher to use technology, to integrate it into the lesson.
In teacher training colleges, how much emphasis is placed on classroom technology and e-learning?
You've come right to the point, Judy. The answer is, not enough. And not only that, if I become a teacher today completely up to date with the latest in educational software, hardware, electronic resources and so on, in 10 years' time, I'll need retraining so that what I've learned won't become obsolete in 20. Teachers today are being asked to do more and more without the support they need. We have a very high rate of teachers quitting the profession in this country, and we've got to ask why.
So teachers need to go back to school themselves. How do they feel about that?
There's resistance sometimes. Teachers can be very traditional. But it's with the new wave of teachers that we can affect the greatest change. If the interactive whiteboard, for example, is seen for what it is, an extraordinary tool in a teacher's toolbox, then it can be utilised. We can train the teacher where to use it, where not to use it, what new software is available, and so on. If there's mistrust, suspicion, ignorance, then the technology will not be used to its full potential. Quite the contrary.
And what are the implications for teachers, schools, education systems even, that don't exploit this technology?
You used the analogy of a crossroads earlier, but I would say rather that we are at a fork in the road. We are in a deep forest at the side of a mountain, and what we don't realise is that one path leads down into a dead-end ravine, and the other leads up to the top of the mountain and the sunshine of knowledge. And, interestingly enough, what technology is allowing schools in developing countries to do is to leapfrog right ahead of the developed countries so that, in comparison, we are starting to look primitive.
Part 3.
Listen to the passage about the history of April Fool's Day and decide if the following sentences are true or false. Mark the correct answer on the mark sheet.
If you like to play tricks on people, then April Fool's Day is for you. On the 1st of April 1957, a British television programme played a big trick on its audience by showing a story about spaghetti trees. It was completely made up, but it didn't stop hundreds of people from believing that spaghetti grew on trees. April Fool's Day is believed to have gotten its start in France. 5 centuries ago, the first day of the new year fell on April 1st. Later, in the 1500s, Pope Gregory VIII moved New Year's Day to January 1st. However, word travelled slowly in those days, so many people didn't find out about the change. Some people knew, but didn't care, and still celebrated the New Year on April 1st. These people were called April Fools, and other people played tricks on them to make them look silly. They sent these fools out to look for things that weren't there, or they tried to make them believe something that wasn't true. Nowadays, the holiday is popular all over Europe and the rest of the world. April Fool's Day is certainly the best time to see people playing all kinds of silly tricks and having fun. If you like to play tricks on people, then April Fool's Day is for you. On the 1st of April 1957, a British television programme played a big trick on its audience by showing a story about spaghetti trees. It was completely made up, but it didn't stop hundreds of people from believing that spaghetti grew on trees. April Fool's Day is believed to have gotten its start in France. 5 centuries ago, the first day of the new year fell on April 1st. Later, in the 1500s, Pope Gregory VIII moved New Year's Day to January 1st. However, word travelled slowly in those days, so many people didn't find out about the change. Some people knew, but didn't care, and still celebrated the New Year on April 1st. These people were called April Fools, and other people played tricks on them to make them look silly. They sent these fools out to look for things that weren't there, or they tried to make them believe something that wasn't true. Nowadays, the holiday is popular all over Europe and the rest of the world. April Fool's Day is certainly the best time to see people playing all kinds of silly tricks and having fun.
That's the end of the listening section.